On this episode of A New York Minute in History.
I need some more lasers here, folks. Step up, step in. I got fun in the sun for the whole family, folks. All you gotta do is put $5.
We're heading to the fair, where we explore the transformation of New York's state and county fairs, from their origins as gentlemen's agricultural societies to the beloved summer celebrations we enjoy today. It's all up next, right after this.
From the Irish invasion of Canada to the early days of the movies, if you are interested in broadening your understanding of New York State history, then this is the podcast for you. I'm Susan Hughes, historian and archivist for the William G. Pomeroy Foundation, a proud sponsor of A New York Minute in History. The Pomeroy Foundation is a philanthropic organization based in Syracuse, New York. One of our main initiatives is to help people celebrate their community's history by providing grants for historic markers and plaques. Here in the Empire State and across the country, we support a diverse range of marker programs that include commemorating food history, civil rights, folklore, and sites on the National Register of Historic Places. As the nation's leading funder of historic markers, the Pomeroy Foundation has awarded over 1,800 grants since 2005. To learn more about the Foundation's grant programs, visit wgpfoundation.org. That's wgpfoundation.org.
Welcome to A New York Minute in History. I'm Devin Lander, the New York State historian.
And I'm Lauren Roberts, the historian for Saratoga County. And today, we are focusing on a marker located in the town of Milton in Saratoga County, which is just outside of the village of Ballston Spa. The title is County Fairgrounds, and the text reads, Saratoga County Agricultural Society, created 1841, held annual fairs at various locations. Fair held on this site beginning 1882. William G. Pomeroy Foundation, 2022. And of course, we are right now in the midst of county fair season. As we're recording, the Saratoga County Fair is going on for the rest of this week. And as the county historian for Saratoga County, I have been there every day and will be until the end of the fair. So firsthand, enjoying what the county fairs have to offer. But before we talk about the county fairs of today, we're going to go back and look at the origins of these county fairs and, of course, the New York State Fair, which happens to be the oldest state fair in the nation. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that got started.
I think that it's important for us to realize that the origins of what we know today as county fairs and our state fair, which is one of the largest in the nation, and as you noted, the oldest, really originated in learned societies in the 19th century. So going back to the early 19th century in New York, there were various collections of gentlemen farmers, meaning they owned large estates that were farmed often by tenant farmers. But they were very interested in the farming technology, in agriculture as a science. And really, their interest in agriculture and farming was to figure out ways to make it more scientific, to make it more efficient, and to be able to compete with farming that is happening in Europe at the time. Again, this is some of the old story of early America comparing itself to Europe and finding itself somewhat lacking. To learn more about the origins of agricultural fairs, we spoke with Joshua Hawk Wheelton, an archivist at the New York State Archives and author of the article Farm to Fair, The Beginning of New York's County Fairs, which is featured in the summer issue of the New York Archives magazine.
My name is Joshua Hawk Wheelton. I am a reference archivist here at the New York State Archives, have been for a couple few years now. I am a reference archivist. That means that I'm likely the other person at the end of the email exchange or the telephone, answering your reference questions, explaining the finding aids, helping retrieve the materials you're asking for, that sort of thing. I've been sort of in this field for 15 years, call it now, And during my dues-paying years, I bounced around from interning at Claremont State Historic Site, which is, of course, the home of Robert R. Livingston, Chancellor Livingston, and working at the Albany Institute of History and Art, which is the ultimate descendant of Robert Livingston's Little Gentlemen's Agricultural Society. Chancellor Robert Livingston was one of the largest landowners in the Hudson Valley. He had about 1 million acres, I think, by the time of he became chancellor. And he financed himself by leasing out chunks of that land to farmers. That made him very interested in agriculture and very interested in improvements to agricultural techniques, improvement to land, convincing his farmers who rented land from him to, you know, be more productive and thus pay their rent and produce more resources for him. Also, at this time, basically every state had an agricultural society about like this by the beginning of the 19th century. It was an acceptable means for gentlemen of leisure to get together and discuss, you know, scientific topics. It was a way to gain status. It was a way to get together with like-minded people of the same class. In the late 18th century, Robert Livingston and a number of other large landowners produced this society to discuss and do research on ways to improve agriculture, sometimes called scientific agriculture at the time. Robert Livingston managed to export a number of Merino sheep back to his estate here in the Hudson Valley. The Merino sheep had a reputation of producing very fine wool, very large amounts of very fine wool. They also had a reputation for grazing rough, which meant that they could eat more than just grass. They could eat weeds, shrubs, things like that. You head west, you're into the Catskills, which is just famously rocky, and that's where most of Livingston's land was. So a sheep that could turn the weeds on the side of a hill and turn it into wool was just exactly what he wanted. So he sent some sheep home and began, when he came back in 1803, began breeding and cultivating and generally trying to popularize the breed.
I think it's important that you make the distinction between gentleman farmers and tenant farmers, or, you know, the average farmer, because these gentleman farmers are the ones that have the leisure time and the money to sit around and talk about how to make these things better. Whereas tenant farmer, they're out there working long days.
Livingston started in his goal of selling sheep and popularizing sheep, having sheep shearing fairs, sheep shearing demonstrations, sheep shearing competitions. He had managed to get the state government involved in supporting his little venture, and so they were giving out bounties for high quality wool at these competitions. Mm-hmm. So he started a sort of proto fair that was almost entirely based on sheep. But the society did not do a very good job of communicating with the bulk of farmers in the Hudson Valley. Their primary means of outreach was the transactions, their sort of yearly publication. And in it, you can see them trying to be Isaac Newton as much as they're trying to be a farmer. They're trying to show off their erudition. They're trying to theorize. It did not do a very good job of reaching to the common farmer. And Chancellor Livingston and many of his colleagues were quite pretentious and very obviously considered themselves aristocracy. So they weren't really going out and shaking hands with the common plowman. That started in the, I call it about 1819, mainly the 1820s. And it seems to be, the exact connection is a little hard to pin down, the result of the actions of Elkanah Watson, who had been a New York businessman for a number of years, had settled in Albany for a while, bought himself some of Livingston's Merino sheep, and then turned around and did exactly what Livingston was doing in sort of a mid-level marketing kind of scheme. He went over to Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and started trying to sell his sheep. And he started holding fairs in order to sell those sheep. But the major thing about Elkanah is he's one of those people in the early part of American history, a real institution builder, a real booster, a real active, vibrant person who is constantly writing and traveling and trying to drum up support and enthusiasm for his causes. And his causes were many and varied, but agriculture was one of the main ones. And so he started writing letters, just explaining what he was doing in Pittsfield and, you know, corresponding with people all around the state. And he was injecting a great deal of pageantry and sort of expanding the role of the fair that Livingston had started with just sheep. Mm-hmm. Part of that was because Pittsfield was cattle country, so he sort of had to get them, bring in cattle to get them involved. But once he started with that, why stop? So he started having parades and talent demonstrations and all sorts of contests and generally spreading the word through his fairs and through his correspondence. This, to borrow an agricultural metaphor, cast the seeds pretty widely. So you started seeing people get involved and a gradual grassroots, to borrow from Ariel Ron, a grassroots leviathan of agriculturalists who were starting to communicate back with Elkanah and other people and then with each other, and then began creating publications. And gradually through the, you know, the first one was The Plowman, Solomon Southwick in 1819. And this had the effect of sort of mobilizing the people that Livingston and his society could not reach, and getting them to talk with each other and getting them to sort of see themselves as a group that could act together and lobby the government together and so forth.
It's really interesting that it took an act of the legislature, actually, in 1832 to transition agricultural fairs from really the domain of the elite gentleman farmer into every county. And this really began with the formation of the New York State Agricultural Society, which, again, was created in 1832 by the New York State Legislature. And it was granted $25,000 to promote agriculture in the state of New York.
And that's followed in 1841 by more legislation from the state of New York that actually funded individual county agricultural societies. And that, especially in Saratoga County, that's what prompted the creation of the Saratoga County Agricultural Society in June of 1841, just a month after that legislation is passed. And most people don't realize that the agricultural societies for each county, they're the ones that run the county fairs. They are usually 501c3 nonprofits and separate from any of arms of county government. And that legislation gave them money to be able to award premiums to the farmers. Those premiums are important because it encourages the farmers to leave their farms for a day or two or three and be a part of these festivals celebrating agriculture, but also promoting advancing agricultural practices in both crops and livestock and farming implements. Because, of course, we have a lot of new implements being invented and improved around this time that are meant to improve production on farms across the state. For more information about the history of the Saratoga County Agricultural Society, we spoke with Sarah Welch, who is the historian for that organization.
My name is Sarah Welch. I'm on the board of directors of the Saratoga Agricultural Society that produces the fair each year. I've been with them since 1992. I started with them. I have been treasurer of the fair. I've been on the board, and my son Tim now is president of the fair board. So we're keeping it all in the family.
So back in 1819, when the fair first started, what was the impetus behind starting county fairs?
Well, they wanted to show how important the farm was to existing. You know, the food, the meat, the wood, whatever came from the farm. And that was what they were trying to show is it is important that we do have this, that we do have the agriculture. And first meeting was held in the courthouse in 1841. We didn't even have a grounds at that point. The first president was Howell Gardner, and he was from Greenfield.
So 1832 and 1841 are really the watershed years for the creation of county fairs, but also the creation of the New York State Fair. So New York State Fair was established in 1841 as part of this new legislation that directed money to the counties for county fairs. It also set aside money for the creation of a state fair, which took place for the first time that year in 1841 and was based in Syracuse, which is where it still is today. But because it was in Syracuse the first year doesn't mean it was in Syracuse the next year. It was actually in Albany the next year. And over the next 40 years or so, it really moved around the state. It was in places like Poughkeepsie. It was in Saratoga Springs. It was in Rochester. It was in Buffalo. And it was also, somewhat surprisingly perhaps, it was in New York City. So the state fair really was a traveling fair for about 40 years. In 1889, the Syracuse Land Company donated about 100 acres of land near Syracuse in the village of Geddes in Onondaga County to the State Agricultural Society to create a permanent home for the state fair. And really, that was the establishment of, again, land, but also permanent buildings that would be used every year. And so the state fair began its permanent home in Syracuse in the 1890s.
I think that a lot of the county fairs took a similar track to the New York State Fair. I know that's true in Saratoga County, that the early years from the 1840s up to about 1880, the fair is constantly moving. Starts in Ballston Spa, and it's also on public lands. In Ballston Spa, it's on the grounds of the courthouse. It moves to places like Mechanicville and Saratoga Springs before the early 1880s when the Saratoga County Fairgrounds, it finds its permanent home just outside the village of Ballston Spa. And they built a big track because racing was also a big part of county fairs, not only horses, but as we move into the early 1900s, we see car racing there. And at that point, I think the success of county fairs and the state fair are proven enough that they can support permanent structures, and they can afford to either purchase the land or purchase material to build structures on the land, and it kind of cements these county and state fairs in the heritage of the communities that they're in.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that over time these fairs grew in size, but actually they were very popular right from the beginning. The New York State Fair, for example, in 1841, the very first one, saw between 10,000 and 15,000 people, which was a lot of people at the time, considering, you know, the modes of transportation were essentially via train, via horseback, via carriage. So, you know, this was a large gathering. And as it expanded in size and as it expanded in the amount of days that the fair took place, there was more and more opportunity for more things that would be entertaining to visitors. So we mentioned racing, but also other types of entertainment, music. There was also vendors started to appear, not only selling kind of agricultural wares, but also selling food and goods and beverages and materials like that. And over time, as these grew and as they became more and more a center of a person's really summer planning, right? And people built their calendars around when the county fair was taking place or when the state fair was taking place. And as this developed over time, they became the larger multi-day, multi-entertainment events that we can think about today. To get a sense of modern state and county fairs in New York State, we spoke with the commissioner of the New York State Department of Agricultural and Markets, Richard Ball, to get a sense of what the current administration is prioritizing at the fair and how fairs are being conceptualized in the modern era. Hello.
Hi, this is Richard.
Hi, Richard. This is Devin Lander, New York State historian at the State Museum.
And I'm Lauren Roberts, the Saratoga County historian. I met you briefly a couple weeks ago when you were at the Saratoga County Fairgrounds.
I think you had rabbits, if I remember.
Yes, yep, those are my daughter's rabbits.
Nice. Right. That was a great day up there. Back in the day, it was fairs served a lot of purposes. One of them was, you know, there were some financial rewards for farmers showing off their produce, their animals. But it was also a time to come together and network and learn some things. Over the years, you know, the fairs, everyone thinks of them as a midway place and a place to have fun, fried food. But we've been looking at the fairs, particularly over the last 10 years, trying to build up the infrastructure there and trying to relook at the relevance of our fairs. And it's something that's been a priority for the governor and for us at the department, because they're a great place to connect the dots between our agricultural community and consumers in the state. The population has changed, the demographics have changed, and we've got, you know, many families that are 3-4 generations removed from agriculture. So here's an opportunity to connect in a better way. So State Fair, we've invested a lot of money in improving the infrastructure, but also making a conscious effort to make sure agriculture remains the centerpiece of our State Fair. And one of the things that the governor and I spent a lot of time talking about is, how do we look at the whole network of county fairs and state fairs and together lift the profile of agriculture and also be a connecting point for careers for young people, for their opportunities to think about. We'll have an ag career day at the state fair where kids actually have some one-on-one with 4-H kids and FFA kids, but also for mom and dad to connect with, hey, there's careers in the food system that are not just jobs, but are our careers. In our budget this year, talking with the governor and at her encouragement, we've put together some funding for the county fairs to market themselves, use some ad campaigns. You're going to see Never Far From Fun rolling out. And I was happy to go to the Boonville Fair, get my very first stamp on my passport. We've created a passport document. It looks just like a passport. With places where, as you go to each county fair, you can get a stamp just like you would at a foreign country. To encourage people to visit our county fairs. We've got about 50 of them in the state. And obviously, we want to encourage that behavior and connect dots in a better way and lead people down to the state fair and kind of a thrilling conclusion of all that.
Yeah, I just wanted to also mention, I'd like, you know, your emphasis on kids in agriculture. And I have a child in 4-H, so I'm biased, but these kids that are in 4-H and Future Farmers of America that work really hard all year round and don't get the same recognition that kids on maybe sports teams or in the performing arts get, the county fair is really their week. And they are there 12 hours a day, taking care of those animals, showing them off, being judged and getting that experience of, you know, what a breed standard is or how they've grown or a specific vegetable. So, you know, the fairs for these kids are so important, and the recognition they get for their work all year round. It's really important to be able to promote the fair and bring in outside people who don't realize that these groups are still so vibrant and so important to all of their communities and the agricultural heritage that we see in so many parts of the state.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you know, totally well said. When you think about the discipline, the responsibility, passion that's required of these young people to produce their crop or take care of their animals, it's a lesson in what the United States taught the world, you know, 100, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. And we want to encourage that kind of behavior. And add to that, you know, when the family goes to the fair, leave your worries behind. Just come to the fair, have a great time, and observe that America's still alive and well at our county fairs.
So, Lauren, as you mentioned earlier, you are in the midst, as we are recording this, of being involved with the Saratoga County Fair on a daily basis.
I certainly am immersed in fair life right now. As the county historian, we have, actually the county has a whole tent where a lot of our departments within the county, see this as an opportunity to reach out to some constituents that they wouldn't otherwise see on a daily basis. And there are representatives there from, let's say, the DMV or the county clerk informing people, how do you get a passport? Or the Office of Aging and Youth is there helping senior citizens learn more about the services that are offered to them. So as the historian, we are actually talking about the upcoming 250th anniversary of the American Revolution and, of course, the Battles of Saratoga. We have a display of older objects from the 18th century, a time around the Revolution, that people have to guess what they were used for. And really, people love guessing these things. We have a boot jack there, which is a piece of wood that is that farmers in particular, but anyone that wore boots, used to help them extract their foot from boots. And we also are offering opportunities to kids. We let them write with a quill pen, talk about what communication was like in the Revolution, because it's so different now, just to give them a sense of amount of time and effort it took. But the other things that I really love about the fair are you do get kind of a different segment of the population that wouldn't normally, let's say, come to a history lecture. And so you see, we have a huge amount of kids that are in summer recreation camps that are bused in during the day. And they are interested in hands-on activities. You see them in all of the different animal barns. My favorite animal barn are the draft horses. And of course, I also like the small animal barn where my own daughter is exhibiting rabbits as part of the Domestic Rabbit Club for 4-H. And I would say a highlight for that is the bunny agility show. So that is really entertaining as well. Yeah, I think it's a mix of entertainment, of learning about agriculture, and also, of course, the food. So I would have to say, over the last couple of days, my favorite fair food, I love the maple milkshakes that are made from local maple syrup with Stewart's milk, and they're delicious.
I would say, although it's hard to pick one thing that I like the best, I'm always a fried dough fan and
a classic,
but I also am a connoisseur of Italian sausages with peppers and onions. So I try to get one every time I go to any fair, and then I compare it to everyone else's.
And who has the best?
It's hard to beat the folks at the Rensselaer County Fair, who have a booth every year. I go to that fair. It's where I live now in Rensselaer County. And I get their sausage, which is massive, and it usually makes it so I can't finish my fried dough afterwards.
When you think about the fair coming up in the summers, and you get excited for it, what is it that has, you know, that seems like the fair has this certain mystique, and you mentioned, you know, the fair is like a family. Mm-hmm. But when you think about going on opening day, what is it that is so interesting and inspiring about the fair?
I think there is so much to see, and every year it's new displays. I mean, people are always trying to improve the fair. They want to be part of what's going on. They all have stories about it, and I think that, to me, what I enjoy is I usually sit in our building and to talk to the people and hear the stuff that they remember doing when they came to the fair when they were little children, how their moms and dads would bring them. Those are nice memories.
Thanks for listening to A New York Minute in History. This podcast is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio and the New York State Museum, with support from the William G. Pomeroy Foundation. Our producer is Elizabeth Urbancic.
A big thanks to Joshua Houck-Wheelton, Sarah Welch, and Commissioner Richard Ball of the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets for taking part. If you enjoyed this month's episode, make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and share on social media.
To learn more about our guests and the show, check us out at wamcpodcast.org. We're also on X and Instagram as @NYHistoryMinute. I'm Devin Lander.
And I'm Lauren Roberts.
Enjoy the fair this summer. Until next time,
Excelsior.
All right. Well, this was a fun episode. Okay.
It was. The fair is fun.
Fair is fun,
just
right?
Just like Commissioner Ball said, never far from fun.